Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Dr. Akli Ajute, the founder and CEO of Braterion. Akli, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen.
So this is the second in the series of podcasts that we're doing on the intersection of artificial intelligence, AI, and fraud. And in particular, this episode, we're going to dig into what we're calling next generation fraud. So this idea that as connected devices proliferate and consumers and merchants and issuers are conducting business across channels and devices, the opportunity for fraud certainly does rise exponentially. So that's the topic. Before we get into that, though, let's set the stage. Fraud landscape, most common types of fraud today. Set us straight, Akli.
You know, fraud is, I'm sure you know that, it's a crime that's perpetrated by organized crimes. It's just the companies now, you know, that you have terrorists, or you have also sometimes individual greedy for money. Let's take just the cyber attack that recently touched Equifax. You have 143 million personal information that were stolen. And the data, it's obviously this data would be sold to other criminal that would be using that to create fraudulent accounts. They will use it to take over the legitimate accounts. So anything you see around, you know, the intrusion detection, hacking, internal fraud, it's all because people want to commit fraud. So the hacking itself is getting bigger and bigger. You just heard 2 days ago that finally Yahoo, it was not just 1 billion, but the credential that were stolen, but 3 billion. You have MySpace, 360 million. So the fraud, you know, all these people is just to commit fraud. And then you said, obviously, it's a cross-channel, because today you have not only the, you know, online, the offline, the dealing with the mobile payments, you have all these new type of payments. You have call centers that themselves are vulnerable to fraudsters, because they are using more and more, like, sophisticated techniques. So they will use the because in general solutions are not cross-channel. Mm-hmm. So that's what fraudsters like to do that. So they even, you know, sometimes fraudsters will do what we call a DOS attack, you know, a denial of service, you know, for against a web page or login, which then obviously will increase the call to the customer service from legitimate users, and then the fraudsters will exploit the opportunity because back office agents are overwhelmed with calls, and then try to take this opportunity to commit fraud. So there is a lot of type of fraud cross-channel. Obviously, in the U.S. also, because of the EMV move, there is a lot of card-not-present fraud. So the way you said it is important. I mean, the cross-channel, and it's there, and it's going to even be bigger. And fraudsters will always exploit the weakest link in any payment system.
So Akli, are you suggesting then that what we might consider the legacy fraud prevention techniques and technologies can't accommodate this cross-channel fraud opportunity because it may be optimized for a single channel?
Even for a single channel, they are not doing the right job. Even for a single channel, because the reason is, like, fraud, you know, to detect and prevent fraud, it's something that keep evolving. It's not like something that, you know, doesn't change. The problem with the legacy fraud techniques, they are based, so legacy, when I say fraud techniques, that quote-unquote use techniques that, like, they use the word machine learning, which is, you know, if you use neural network, data mining, or statistics, or people have that uses business rules. The problem with this technology, even when they are for one, I'm not even talking about cross channel, even in one channel, they are not effective because they are only built on past observation. Mm-hmm. So the way this technology happens is like if you use neural network or data mining, what you use is you take historical data, so for the events that occurred with the fraud incident, and then you will create what we call models, either with data mining or with neural network, or a rule expert will write rules. The thing is, like, what happened there, it's like you are just basing your solution on what happens in the past. But as I mentioned, the fraud keeps changing. So pretty much the solution using legacy technology are outdated the same day you put them on the system, because there is new fraud attack happening over and over. It's like saying, I have an antivirus system, but I cannot update that. Mm-hmm. So that's the number one limit. Mm-hmm. The other limit is because they are based on historical data, they have a lot of false positive because they literally apply the same logic to everyone. So in a bank, so if you, Karen, and myself, we are in the same category, the data mining or the neural network or the rules will treat us the same way. And your behavior and mine is completely different. Mm-hmm. So this legacy technology, they apply the same logic to everyone. This is, by the way, why there is a lot of declines. You know, we talk about fraud, fraud prevention. Yeah, the decline also is important because you are over $100 billion of decline per year. So think about the loss of, I would say, business, but also the how you turn your customer to unhappy customer, so there is a friction there. So this legacy technology, because they are not adaptive, because they apply the same logic to everyone, and as you said earlier, they are also in a single channel. Mm-hmm. And because they are applied in a single channel, that's the fraudster best friend, because the silo structure, it's like you don't see, it's a myopic anti-fraud solution. So If solutions do not communicate, you will not be able to detect anything. You have, I will add also the fact that the legacy technology, everyone knows they are really resource intensive. Mm-hmm. They require times, team of data scientists, and you have to write, deploy. If you use rules, if you use neural network, it takes forever. So which is the legacy technology, despite the significance of the cost, they are still unable to perform in one silo, let alone in cross-channel.
So Akli, you mentioned machine learning, AI, and you've also described the limitations of what's happening today within these legacy techniques. But it seems as though machine learning and AI is a label that's kind of used by everybody to suggest that's the silver bullet. And although properly constructed, it sounds like it can be, but people use these words both interchangeably and also everyone's using them. What makes good AI, what separates good AI from really, really superior AI from your standpoint?
I would not even use the word good AI. I think you are correct. I mean, few topics have generated more hype than machine learning and artificial intelligence. It's insane. I would be not surprised to hear about the dog food created with artificial intelligence. It's just become nonsense. So you get the opportunistic that jumped in, literally defrauding companies by promising everything you want to hear, AI and machine learning. That's the, being a professor in the field for 20 years, I led the head of department, and I was in business all my life. I'm really concerned about all this, where is the hype going to end? I think I said it many times. You wonder if there will not be an AI winter again. But The artificial, you know, the machine learning, the artificial intelligence, what people call today artificial intelligence is like, even in the early 2000s, you know, when the e-commerce started, many companies used the technology that people are talking about today, like neural network, Bayesian model, data mining, business rules, all of this were used before. So, you know, I don't know what to go, I don't need to go more in detail about this technology, but pretty much data mining is a technology that takes historical data, and then it learns from that data, from the historical data, and create what we call a decision tree to make a decision. The problem with that, I mean, there is a value, but we always know there is, like, data inconsistencies. You know, the data is not clean. It's very difficult to find a clean data. Mm-hmm. Then, so if there's an error where you mislabel a transaction that was suspicious, if it's not suspicious, if your system learns from inaccurate data, it will not work well. Mm-hmm. So data mining has a limit because it's only based on the data you have, doesn't have a global view, and it's not adaptive. And then the same thing when you talk about the neural network, we have a tendency to say that neural network, you know, existed 50 years ago, and including the deep learning, which is you know, the limit of neural network. They do have a great name. Well, people that don't know them are neural network and deep learning. I have a tendency to say before you use the word deep, show me the learning. But these technologies literally are a black box. They don't explain anything. It takes forever to learn. Any changes can, you know, make the system go blind. So for people using all this words, you know, I would finish probably with the Bayesian network, because I joke with my student. I tell them that Thomas Bayes, when you hear about Bayesian theorem, he was born in 1701 and published something in 1763. It's called in something related about a problem in doctrine of chance. We refer this when we teach AI. It's like more than 300 years ago. So I think there is a real value in machine learning and artificial intelligence, but you really, really need to use the right one, the one that is adaptive, is learning, and doesn't just base its knowledge on historical data.
So there are, I don't know whether levels is the right word, but there certainly are degrees of artificial intelligence, as I've just listened to you describe it. But yet the word is used to encompass a big basket full of techniques and ideas about making data smarter and making it smarter in real time.
Yeah, correct. I think you are absolutely correct. So what I say to you all the time, to the students and to the customers, if you really have an AI solution, first, you don't need months to design anything. Sometimes spend years. You literally need weeks. Hmm. Second, you know, if we talk about a comprehensive fraud solution across channel, the most important thing is personalization, adaptability, and self-learning. Mm-hmm. You know, personalization is like, why? Because every customer is different. As I said, you are different than me. Mm-hmm. Every merchant is different. Every device is different. Everyone has a different behavior. So if you want to really successfully protect and serve customers or employees or any type of audience, you know, it can be risk, marketing, anything, you must know them by their unique and unique behavior. And over time, you will learn from that. Mm-hmm. And you don't just treat them like, you know, everyone is the same. That's number one. Number two, obviously, you have to be adaptive, because there's a new type of fraud every single day. Mm-hmm. And you have to be self-learning to learn, you know, from every activity. So, because why? Because the criminal themselves are adapting new fraud schemes over and over, every day. That's what they do. So you have to have a technology that, you know, it's smart over smart the criminal. think, for example, it's not just payment. Let's say network security. How many malwares are there per day?
Right. Right.
Hundreds. No one knows. But I can tell you there was millions of them. So an important concept for the next generation of AI and machine learning is to be intelligent or reflecting. It's like, imagine, I would say, a plumbing system that's, autonomously notify the plumber when it finds like water dripping out of a hole in a pipe because it detects little leaks. So that's how it should be. The artificial intelligence and machine learning should be adaptive, detect any abnormal activity, any anomalies in real time. You don't need to teach her everything before it detects it because it's not going to work. So that's what we do. So we have a technology called smart agent technology, which is a personalization technology that creates a virtual representation for every entity, and it learns over time. So for example, in the payment industry, smart agent would be associated with individual cardholder or a merchant or a terminal. And then, so like if you have, let's say you have 200 million cards, you will have 200 million agents. Mm-hmm. This agent will learn the behavior with a privacy protection. Mm-hmm. We manage over 50% of UK business. We work in Europe, in France, in Germany, Northern Europe. The privacy is important. So mm-hmm. our technology provides privacy, but still for every card, we have a way of securing that card. We have a way of learning about that card. We don't treat all the cards the same way. And because we have this self-learning and adaptive, they will keep over and over time adapting to the change of behavior and also detecting any new fraud scheme. So literally, if you really, really want to do real artificial intelligence, it is extremely important that the artificial intelligence will be first based on personalization, has the fact that it's adaptive, and be a self-learning technology.
So Ackley, let me give you an example. I want you to diagnose what happened. So a couple of days ago, I was shopping online at a site that I have visited previously. And when I shopped there, I used a different card. And previously, I used a different card. So this time, I made my purchase. I used a different card. You know, everything was fine. I completed all the forms, you know, put in my CVV and expiry and all of those things. And I completed my purchase. And I had a confirmation page. And within a minute or two, I got a fraud text message on my phone that said, is this you? And I'm wondering what triggered that. Was it because my behavior with that account was different? It certainly wasn't different with the merchant. And I'd used the card before in many other online transactions. So is that what was triggering the alert? I was really bummed out about it too, because by the time I said yes and resubmitted, the session had expired, so I had to log in. It was a mess. It created a lot of friction, in other words.
Yeah, the other way, you know, that's exactly the legacy technologies. You know, I think a fraud solution will have also a multi-layer protection. So, for example, when you talk about the endpoint, at device level, for example, if you're using a computer or your laptop or your phone, so there is a way for the endpoint. It's one way to use it, but a sophisticated criminal can go over, particularly when you have malwares. But the endpoint technology will normally be able to learn your device, not the first time, because the first time when you go the first time to a website that you never shop there, the way you do this is we use a click stream analysis, which is Are you acting as a normal mm-hmm. buyer? If you go for the first time to Amazon, are you checking the price? Are you Are you looking to compare, or are you just jumping? You know, it doesn't matter, whatever you want to buy, you buy the most expensive and you want to use the card or test the card. So that's the first time, because we don't have any information about you. We use what we call the clickstream analytics. But the second time, if you already use the device, technology should be able to have some information about you being using that device. You know, if you have the IP address, there's a lot of other information. But I think the most important thing is the, it's all about personalization. It's the one-to-one behavioral profiling that will allow the technology to know your the way you shop, the way you travel. I know you travel a lot, because you run a business, and so the system will associate behavior specifically to you. You Karen, because you have that behavior. And when you combine this multi-layer protection from the endpoint to clickstream, the behavioral analysis, the adaptive learning, that's the way you can absolutely provide the best solution to financial institutions, merchants, and in the end, you know, provide the best service to customers and not, and like you were just mentioning, being frustrated by, you know, this legacy fraud systems.
I'll have to share the issuer. This happens a lot with that particular card. So we'll take that up offline. But speaking of smart and AI, we talked earlier about the Equifax breach. And so my question to you is, you know, now we've got these really smart fraudsters, and they basically got the mother load of data on most all of us. They have the immutable identifiers of human beings, social security number and birth date and email and address and lots of other data that doesn't have an expiration date, or you can't change. You can freeze it, I guess. That creates its own frictions. But is AI smart enough to know that a fraudster that has my credentials is a fraudster presenting them and not me, when they're actually presenting the very same credentials, and they can spoof IP addresses and all that other stuff as well?
You know, so that's really the most important. I mean, that's what you described is extremely important. I think the problem with all this is with consumer authentication. So if I go buy a car, if I do anything, what they ask me, social security number, mother's maiden name, you know, all the same questions. The problem, this information now are in the hand of criminals. Mm-hmm. So if someone looks like you, or even you go to my name is Karen Webster, what is your social security number? You give the number. What's the address? What's your mother's name? Because all this information, like Equifax had it, and they were, you know, there. And I think it's a disaster the way they handled their security. As you mentioned, now that information is in the hand of criminals. So how am I going to know who is who? Mm-hmm. So the problem, I think there's many things we can do. We thought about it, you know, and since 2014, we were thinking about it. First, we talked earlier about the cross-channel, you know, detecting abnormal activity through the wire, the ACH, the ATM, the credit card, within a bank, you know, anything, loans, checks, any type of information. So if you have a 360-degree view of anything touching you within a financial institution, within a bank, obviously you can, as you may imagine, there are so many banks, so I don't think the bank share the information between themselves, but at least within a bank, if you have the cross-channel, you at least see if there is, you know, abnormal behavior. If you go to the maybe a network level, like within MasterCard or Visa or Discover, etc., maybe there is a way for saying more information, more view about the card behavior, etc. But I think the most important thing, which we believe, and we started working on it, and we released a product called iDetect. It happens, we started about this when the Home Depot and Target data breach happened. Mm-hmm. So we thought, how is artificial intelligence can proactively detect a data breach very quickly? Mm-hmm. So we all know, you know, in risk, time is money. Mm-hmm. So we thought about we really needed a faster solution for data breach detection. So how is this possible? So when criminals steal information, obviously they steal that to make money, so to use the card and et cetera. So they start, in general, testing them on, they go to Apple for iTunes or Amazon to test the card. So what we designed a product called iDetect for early data breach. So what artificial intelligence does is, like, when the fraudsters start using the cards, so like a card, any card number, different type of card numbers, so our smart agent technology will, in real time, detect the card that are acting abnormally, so there is high risk. So then the smart agent, they will all talk to each other and try to analyze the behavior and tie them back to a common point of purchase. Hmm. So we say, man, this store has a malware. They are copying the card, or a breach happened here, you know, with Home Depot. I don't know if the Home Depot is started in Canada. Mm-hmm. So we can go pretty much very, very fast. We're talking about a day, 24 hours max, to a faster breach identification. So if you do that, if the criminal starts seeing that, even when they steal the credential, as soon as they start using them, the card are being detected as fraud, and you know, it's pretty much you are removing the need for them to steal the card. It's like having an ADT security system in your home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you have an ADT, it will alert you if a criminal breaks into your home. It's the same thing here. It's a kind of an ADT artificial intelligence system that will alert, you know, issuers if, you know, we detect abnormal behavior. We tell them, hey, this type of card started to act abnormally because they all went through that type of merchant because probably the data were stolen or they had the malware. So I strongly believe that with the real AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning, particularly with smart agent, we have it. There is a solution available that will help, you know, issuers bring this, as I mentioned, type of system. It's exactly the same as having an ADT security system in your home. By using iDetect, you will allow a faster breach identification that, you know, obviously by having that, you reduce, the loss, and also you protect your brand.
Well, Ockley, this is a fascinating and obviously always a timely conversation, but and I could talk for much longer with you, but we'll save that for future episodes. As always, really enjoyed talking with you and getting your insights. Thanks very much for joining me today.
Hey, the pleasure was mine. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.